The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
But first, we're joined by a couple who started out their business at their kitchen table in London. Noel and Valerie Moran's firm went on to have a turnover of over 70 million euro last year. Prepaid Financial Services now employs over 200 staff and is growing rapidly. And Noel and Valerie join me now. You're both very welcome to the programme. I suppose Prepaid Financial Services, Noel, what is it that you do? There are prepaid cards that banks and post offices and all kinds of organisations around the world want people to be able to use with a prepaid amount on it. Am I right in saying that you're the infrastructure behind those cards? You make that happen?
Yeah, that's correct, Richard. We'd be behind a lot of that. We work with banks, not just banks, but we also work with a lot of others, telcos, multiple other large corporate clients. So I suppose the difference is you may, in some instances, be able to get a debit or card from a bank and walk into a bank and obtain that. But what you can't do is get a white label solution. So when we say a white label, we mean we basically build and customise solutions specific for corporates' needs.
So therefore, ordinary consumers are using your product, but your customer, you're not selling it directly to those consumers. You're selling it to banks or other organisations.
Yeah, that's correct. We work on a B2B basis. So a corporate client will come to us, they'll look for a specific solution, we'll build it and make sure it's tailored to their needs, and then they go and sell the card either direct to a corporate or direct to a consumer. So we don't really sell the card direct to the end user.
So, Valerie, you were both involved in this business very, very early on. You were the first employee of the company. Was that a big decision to make when you were quitting your own job and Noel decided to talk you into it?
Yes, it was indeed. So when we started off the business, we started off, obviously, as you know, in a small apartment and from a kitchen table. That meant we had no capital at the time. But in order to progress the business, Noel needed someone to come and help him on board. That meant me coming to be the new implementation project manager. So I had to quit my paying job to come and take on a job that was not going to pay me. I was not going to have an office, and basically my new office was going to be the kitchen. However, the conversation around that was, I could see the vision and I liked the idea and I decided to take the risk. And I thought to myself, look, if it doesn't work out, the next thing I'll just be doing is just applying for a new job.
And you were together as a couple, but you hadn't been together all that long when you were making this decision, were you?
Yes, we met in late 2007. That's when we really met, to be honest. And then we started off the business idea, taking it off in October 2018. That's when I quit my job. And from October 2018, I started to work by myself from home.
2008.
And from there, we found an office in Hanover Square in March 2009. And that's when he only came to start working with me to fully basically run the business. And really, that's when we started to manage PFS together.
Noel, what about your own background? Where did the idea for this prepaid cards business come from?
So I guess I had always worked in financial services previously. Mm-hmm. In my last 10 years, I worked for a lot of the banks in the UK. And prior to leaving Ireland, I also worked with AIB here in the credit card centre. So when I went to London and the UK, I worked with all the banks there. But it was all around debit cards, credit cards. So that's really where I got a good understanding of how the payment space works and how cards in particular work. And I guess I got a bit hooked on it and fascinated by it and eventually ended up setting up something myself.
What was it about it that appealed to you?
I think there was a couple of things. Number one is, you know, it's a very complicated product for starters. You know, you think it's a card and you just go and put it in a machine and that's it. But there's so many different providers behind making that transaction happen. But also the fact that, you know, it is a product that gives you a revenue stream 24 hours a day. So when you have a lot of cards out there, you have customers using them all over the world. Our model is based on transaction activity. So every time there's a transaction, we make money. So effectively, you have a product where you can make money when you're asleep, and that's attractive, you know.
That is attractive, I think, for anybody. And what was there entrepreneurial spirit in the family for you, Noel, when you were growing up? Or
I guess there was. My father, he had his own business. He set up his own business. He was in the furniture trade.
You're from Navan?
From Navan, yeah, exactly. So we're originally from Navan. So my father had a furniture business. He set up his own furniture trade. We would have worked with him as well when we were on school holidays in the summer and that. And even when I left school for the first year and a half, I actually worked in his furniture business as well too. So I guess there was something there previously in the
What sort of jobs were you doing for your dad?
Well, stuffing cushions and making buttons for three-seater suites. And
you got all the glamorous jobs,
delivering furniture all around the country, so not as glamorous as it is today, maybe.
But was it a good learning experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you had to work hard, and I think that's one of the things that has benefited me, you know. We work hard, and as Valerie said, the business has been built up over 10 years, but it's been built up over a lot of hard work.
So you were used to that from an early age.
The grounding for that came in the early days, exactly.
And Valerie, what about your family background? You're from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Was there business in the family? Had you always been interested in building a company?
My father was a serial entrepreneur. My father was extremely hardworking. In fact, I can say he was a workaholic. My father owned a bakery, a butchery, a clothing school, wear factory, and all of those business, and along with property development as well. So he was always constantly working. And one of the things that he did do was discipline us in the sense that if you want to be successful, it doesn't come from resting on your laurels. So from an early age, we knew what hard work was. And Saturdays and Sundays and over the bank holidays, we were responsible for helping him in the different types of businesses that he had. Whether you'd be working in the butchery or the factory or the bakery, you had to be working somewhere to help him. So we would earn a little wage, which was an incentive for us. It wasn't really much, but it was to just discipline us that you need to work in order to achieve success.
I suppose for a lot of people, and you've both talked about growing up, but at an early age you were working and you had that ethos which stands to you. Maybe some people who find themselves in that situation, the last thing they want to do when they're adults is work very hard because they feel they've done a lot already and it could put them off. For others, it sets the basis or the groundwork for how their careers go. I mean, are you workaholics, would you say?
I wouldn't say, okay, fine. As we stand today, yes, one would describe us as workaholics, yes. But just to go back to your point where you say that for some people, they wouldn't want to work hard. I think it just depends, you know. When you can see your parents enjoy the fruits of their success, then that kind of like says to you, the child yourself, do I want to be better than my parents and do want to achieve the same success as my parents? Then you learn from that and you take from that. What I took from that was that my parents were successful, but they were successful through hard work. And if you don't work, that means you're not going to achieve anything. That means the quality of life that you set yourself out for isn't going to be a great one. You know, you can only join good quality of life if you set out to work for it.
And you have an incentive. No, you were nodding when I asked about work. Workaholics there. You were.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether we're workaholics by default or we want to be, but we certainly put a lot of time and effort into it. But, you know, I guess you have different opportunities in life and you can decide what you want to do with them when they come around. And some people will make the most of those and they'll try and maximise them and maybe set up their own company. That's what we've tried to do.
What about, let's say, school? Were you interested in school? Had you any idea what you wanted to do when you were in school?
No, it's probably fair to say I wasn't too much interested in school. You know, back then you went to school and you learned a little bit, but it was more about what time did you get out of school and go home and start playing football and stuff like that. So I definitely wasn't too keen on school. I was more interested in, you know, getting out, either doing something, whether it was playing football or whether it was even working. I probably enjoyed working back then even more than school, so...
So you were both living in London when you met. You met there.
Yes.
How did all that come about? How did you bump into Noel, or Noel bump into Valerie, or?
Okay, we we met at a business convention that was being held around Cavendish Square in London, and it was...
The romance of a business convention, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. And obviously you network with people, then you end up exchanging business cards, and this man gave me his business card and I gave him my business card, but obviously the intention wasn't to do business.
The intention on his part?
At the time.
Obviously it was an easy decision for me, Richard.
At the time, but it made it easy because, you know, we were there and the contact then came after then on, and then this relationship progressed after that, really, to be honest with you.
And then he said, I have this mad idea for a new business and I want you to come and work for the company before anyone else does.
Well, before that mad idea came up, really, to be honest, he was already working for another payments company. And obviously, because you're in a relationship, you often discuss what's happening with your work and what's happening with your line of work. And he'd constantly tell me what was going on. So I already took an interest in what he was doing at the time. So really, when it came to the time of saying, okay, fine, I've got this idea, then how about we go for it, you know, quit your job and join me. It wasn't really pie in the sky at that time. It was really a conversation that had really gradually was coming to that point, and I could see the essence of the idea really at that time.
And Noel, you were looking for someone who was going to work for free, basically. Was that the idea behind it?
Well, I was looking for a couple of things. I was trying to kill a few birds with the one stone, Richard. So that was definitely part of it. I mean, we hadn't got much money to invest into the business at those days, but, you know, I could also see that Valerie, she took an interest in what I was doing in the previous business, and she wanted to know a lot about it, and she was a quick learner, so there was a lot of wins there under.
And when you look at the growth of the company, and it has been really rapid in recent years, but at the beginning, how tough was it? Because you needed to get your first customer, your first client. Was that, do you remember that day well, and how important was that?
Yes, we remember it vividly because it was probably 50-50, and you know, if we hadn't got that customer, we wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So we had no money. We stretched things as far as we could. It was also in the downturn in 2008. There was no money around London. It was the exact opposite. Everyone was taking their money out of London during the crash. They didn't want to invest in anything. So the last thing they were going to invest in was a new startup business. So it was definitely difficult. I hadn't got paid as well for a couple of months in my previous role. That made it more difficult. So we were literally just trying to stretch our own cash as far as we could. And, you know, when things like rent payments came about, we were definitely trying to avoid the landlord. We hadn't got the money to pay the rent.
You had moved out of the kitchen because you wanted to have an office.
Yeah, so we had to get an office. You know, one of the difficulties we found was obviously you can't bring clients to the kitchen, and you definitely won't close a deal in the kitchen. So what we did was we moved into the office that Valerie mentioned in Hanover Square. And the only reason why we took that was because there was also a lot of rail works going on around there at the same time, and they had started the new underground rail network in London, so no one would move into those offices. So we also got the first 3 months discounted. Mm-hmm. So that was the only one of the main reasons why we moved in. But when the rent went up to the full rent in month four, month five, month six, we were dodging the landlord, to be honest, and we probably stretched it as far as we could. And I remember when we went out for lunch one day and we said, listen, we can't keep dodging the landlord. We don't have any money to run the business. There's no clients coming in. I'm not sure we can take it forward for much longer. But funny enough, a couple of days later, maybe even within 2 or 3 days, I think we got a phone call for the first card order, which was around 5,000 cards. Mm-hmm. And back in 2008, that was a massive order for us. So we charged them, I can't remember what it was, 5-6 euro per card. We got paid 40,000 up front, and that allowed us pay the landlord, the rent.
How had you been dodging them, Noel?
Avoiding them, not going to the office.
So you were lying low, basically.
Exactly, we were lying low, but we were lucky. We got a client just when we needed one, and that allowed us keep going for another 3 or 4 months, and I guess the rest is history.
And together then, as a couple running a business that's growing rapidly, takes up a lot of time, a lot of mental effort and everything, do you have any rules at home about not talking about business, when you do, when you don't, or are you just comfortable to do that?
We're comfortable to do that. We don't have that rule in particular for two reasons. Because sometimes at home is the only time we have time to ourselves to really discuss what where we want to take the business. And basically, if he has an idea and he's not really sure about the idea, he'll ask my opinion. He'll say to me, okay, fine, I need to send this email to the staff and I need to basically have this workshop in the next few weeks. Okay, what do you think and how should we go? Are there any things that we've left out? And then vice versa, I'll do the same. So that's the time we really have to ourselves, but it will be in a relaxed environment. And then, of course, when we're at home, we do take time to ourselves. Like we've got a Friday, we have a tendency to have a date night between the two of us to make sure that we move away from the busy Monday to Friday, because on Saturday and Sunday, sometimes in the evenings, we have to pick it up and work. So we have that particular one rule to say time to spend to ourselves. So in essence, if you're trying to manage a successful business like what we've done over the last 11 years, I'll be honest with you, it's very difficult to really say to yourself, okay, I'm going to shut off the, close off my phone, stop responding to emails, because whilst you have line managers that you hire and recruit that are responsible for their respective departments, some things sit within yourselves or with you to make the forward decision.
So it never stops really to have to make a decision.
Honest.
And and obviously you had met in London, you started the business there and you grew it there, but you made a decision to move the business to Ireland. You've over 200 staff there in Navan and you're moving to Trim. Was that a big change for you, Valerie, from London to Meath? Was that a hard sell? Was Noel making a very strong case for Navan?
It was very difficult because I'd been used to be living, I was living in the UK for like nearly 11 years. And there's something about the UK, the buzz and the environment, you're so close to every vicinity and it's just easier to travel. So moving here was completely different for me. At first I didn't like it, but then I started to appreciate something. It brought calmness in my busy life, moving to Navan. Even though I'm still a busy person, I have this illusion that things are calm. And for some reason, I can somehow break my time coming from work and coming home and then continuing on. In the UK, because it's hustle and bustle, you're just jam-packed with it and it just never stops. So I now love to live in Ireland and I love living in Navan now.
And you're enjoying that change. It's,
absolutely. It's,
Navan has calmed Valerie, Noel, it seems.
Yeah, it looks like that, all right. I think, in fairness, she's happy. I mean, we were looking to move home as well at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we decided, obviously, a good opportunity to do that, and part of that would be to move some of the business to Ireland at the same time.
And what about the future of the company? Would you consider floating it on the stock market? Would you consider at some point selling it? Have people come to you with a large checkbook saying they'd like to buy the business?
Yeah, well, we consider all of those, Richard, and we do get approaches. We put a lot of work earlier this year and time and effort into listing the business and trying to list it. Unfortunately, we had to put those on the back burner from June, July because of the Brexit scenario. So there's so much uncertainty around that. We actually can't progress that now until we get some certainty around that. But, you know, every business is also up for sale. If you get a good offer and you're happy, you have to know when to take it as well, too.
And what about other things? What do you do for a bit of downtime to relax? Or is there any downtime left?
Yes, there is a bit of downtime. In 2016, we bought an old estate house in Bective. And we've been working hard renovating it, and basically some of our time on some of our weekends have been spent with the strimmer or the chainsaw, trying to cut some of the trying to tidy up the estate, and also trying to put in planning permission to try and have some of the buildings that were existing that are kind of like derelict to restore them again. And that's what we've been doing in our spare time.
And what about you, Noel? I mean, people sometimes talk about serial entrepreneurs. Is there a part of your brain is thinking about other business ideas, things that you might like to do as well?
Well, we have other businesses. So PFS is obviously the more established one, but off the back of PFS, we also set up another one in Navan called Ecom Merchant Solutions. So again, they deal in payments, but a different angle to payments, more on the terminal side of things and providing terminals to merchants. So we have 50 employees under that company already. But we've also invested into some other companies. We've ran an innovation fund as well, which was very successful 2 years ago. So, you know, I like to help develop other companies, I guess, and that's also something that's very satisfactory if you can help them or assist young people in getting their own business and moving it forward.
You've also managed to get the company to the size that it is now while retaining most, or I don't know, 80% of the company yourselves. Was that difficult? A lot of people find it hard to get to a business employing 200, 250 without parting with more of the equity.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, in fairness, that happened by default. Yes. In the early days, we were going out looking for money. So we tried to raise money in the early days, and people just wouldn't invest. 2008, 2009, 2010. There was just no one investing into new business, new startups. So it was very difficult. So the choice was actually made for us in the initial years. And then when it came to 2012, 13, we didn't actually need the money. We were starting to become profitable and generate funds. So we said, well, OK, we own the business. Let's try and retain it now and just develop the business through our own equity. So, I mean, I guess the positive side of that now is we own 85% of the business. So
it worked out well in the end?
It worked out well. And the rest is also owned by the staff. So 95% of the business is owned by staff, which is great. So it's a good success story for everyone.
Well, Noel and Valerie Moran of Prepaid Financial Services, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.